Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Thank you. Honored to be here myself, but let's just give Jesus a praise because none of us would be standing here. I'm just a broken, sinful man that is chasing Jesus every day. So let's just give Jesus honor today. And you're already seated, so I can't ask you to seat. I highlighted that in my notes. But I want to do something real quick before I get started. This is definitely a stretch for me. This is not me. This is being around the right people that put you down the right path. So today, Kelly, please stand up. Please come up here. Look, this is my wife, Kelly. We've been together for 14 years. Quick story is I was in Florida, living in Fort Myers, Florida, and she fell in love with a picture of my senior picture. And she said, I'll never meet this man. And I was going through a tough time in my life. I was in Florida for 5 years doing very well, and I didn't know how to handle the problem I was in, and I ran back home. And it was the best decision that I made because I met my wife. But when she seen me, she didn't see the senior picture. I was in construction, pouring concrete for a living. I grew a beard. I was living on my brother's couch. And my wife said, is that him? And then I shaved and she said, yeah, that's him. So that's the truth. Well, Kelly, today I just, these are from me. And you know where I've come from, so. You've been through it all with me, and you love me for who I am, and I'm a pain in the butt, but thank you so much. So those are from me, and it took 7 years to get our little daughter, Taylor. You watched all of us go through that struggle in our lives. She's upstairs in good hands, so Kelly, these are from Taylor. You're the greatest mom that she could ever ask for. And if you haven't heard, it took 7 years for Taylor. It took 3.5. We're having another baby. So, yeah. That's the goodness of God. You know, He's given us another blessing in our life. So, whether it's a boy or a girl, pray for health. Pray for a perfect baby for us. We have more love in us to give to another child. So if we could honor Kelly on her birthday. This is out of her comfort zone, but how could she say no to roses, you know? So thank you. I learned that from a very good man that I've attached myself to. Sometimes when you grow in life, maybe that attachment has to stretch because of things change in your life. But I've connected to the right people, and sometimes, you know, maybe that rubber band stretches and they're there. They're there. We all know we're okay. We all know we're doing the right thing, but sometimes you can't stay close. And, you know, today I'm honored to everybody that's been close to me, thank you for staying attached to me, and thank you for letting me stay attached to you. I just want to tell you, I'm just a broken man. I'm a sinful man, and I'm just keep plowing away every day today. And I'm just honored to be up here, and I just want to pray real quick. Father God, I just thank you for just standing here today. I thank you for where you've taken me from and where you've placed me and where you're going to take my family tomorrow and the next day. And God, this message is through me, but all about your Son, Jesus Christ, and, you know, the Savior that saved me one day in this church. And I heard about starting over. I heard about something new. I heard about starting again, being born again. And And God, that's why I stand here today, is because I chose you today. And just God, use me, but use your word, use what I've put together, and just your Holy Spirit, just cover it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shandy says it's easier with family to do this. And I said, are you sure, Shandy? It might be a little harder. But it could be a little harder. But I'm getting more comfortable. I'm growing, I'm learning. I feel more comfortable up here because I feel like I'm having a conversation with family, which is a stretch for me. It's not, I was the guy that just plowed away, just keep plowing, just shield everything and just keep plowing away. And I just want to tell you, the title of my message tonight is There's Power in the Pain. There's power in the pain. Two types of pain that I wanted to talk about tonight is the pain of change and the pain of staying the same. The pain of change. Think about what an athlete has to endure. An athlete puts his mind, body, spirit through great lengths of pain, struggle to become great. We all know it's football seasons. Those athletes, if they're going to be their best, they have nutritionists, they've stretched, they eat right, they sleep right, they think right, they study their craft. They endure a lot of pain to be the best that they can be. They transform every part of their lives to be great. And right now, I'm putting myself through some great pain because I'm preparing for a race. I prepared for a race back in April, and that was great pain that I put myself to be ready for a race. And right now, I'm preparing for a race that's coming at the end of the month. I'm training, I'm eating, there's bumps, there's bruises, there's lost toenails. Pat knows. But so I was telling everybody what the title of the message was at the gym this morning, and I said, I was there with Nancy, and I said, she's like, oh, what are we doing? And I said, Nancy, there's power in the pain, and she says, we don't have to live your message, Brad. So, in last week, I was running with Todd Cross at last Saturday, and we ended up running 13.1 miles. And there was a point where you start running and you say your body is very uncomfortable, but then it starts to warm up, release these chemicals in your body, endorphins and stuff, and it starts taking care of the pain. But there was a moment that every part of my body, including my mind, says, stop, Brad. What are you doing? Your legs hurt. Your hips hurt. And my brain is telling me to stop. And I looked over at Todd, and I said, he's just a bullhead, just like me, and we're just going to keep running. And then there was a moment we were running through, and there was trees both sides, and something happened. I got through that wall. I got through. Something happened inside of me, and I got through this pain that I was enduring. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about was the pain of staying the same. Think about being afraid to grow and change. Doubt and fear grips people. The thought of change or doing something new paralyzes people. The pain is so great, it puts people in the state of isolation and draws back from life. You're looking at a boy like that right there. You're looking at a man that has to fight that. You're looking at that right here. So if you have your Bibles, iPads, iPhones, whatever you have that's going to have the scripture, if you could turn to John chapter 5. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Jesus healed a lame man. After Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jews' holy day, inside the city, near the sheep gate, was a pool called Bethesda, with five covered porches, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, laid on the porch. One of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to be well?" The man replied, "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." And out of that translation, they pull out verse 4. But verse 4 says, "For an angel came down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, and whatever disease they had was gone." Now, I'm 38 years old today. Think about 38 years sitting, hoping, sitting with all sorts of people, hoping that you're going to change, hoping day after day, month after month, year after year, 38 years, this man sat there, and he sat there, and he sat there. To put it in perspective, it's 13,870 days. Think about sitting there day after day, waiting for this pool to bubble up and go in there and try to get there for healing and not get there and then have to go back day in and day out. And it doesn't say that he couldn't move. It says he was sick. Day after day he tried to get to the water, but someone always got there before him. So every day he's walking, and he goes to step in and somebody else gets there before him. Day after day after day, somebody gets there before him. If it was me, I would have just laid next to the pool and I would have just rolled myself in. I would have pleaded or begged somebody to push me in. Because why didn't he do that? I believe the pain and doubt and unbelief made him sicker and sicker. I believe he sat paralyzed in pain and self-doubt. As he went to that pool, as he went to the pool and he said, "Maybe it's not for me today. Maybe that's for that man." Or maybe he just sat there in doubt and fear. It says there was porches. So I could only imagine there's porches and they're just sitting there. And day in and day out, he just sat there and he laid there and he was paralyzed in doubt, pain. There's a quote that Dale Carnegie coined. It says, "Inactivity breeds doubt and fear." I believe the man in this story is a perfect example of this. If we look at John chapter 5, 7, he says, "I can't," the sick man says, "for no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there before me." The pain of staying the same is costly. You start moving backwards away from people moving forward. Doubt and fear enslaves you. Negative talk takes over your thoughts. Negative habits take you down a road that you don't even want to travel. Because of doubt and fear, you say, "I want to head that direction." But because of negativity in your life, because you want to go in that direction, but you just can't make the turn. You can't get to the pool. You just can't do it. And that's what this man was doing. He was telling himself, "I can't get to the pool." And you start believing opinions other people put on you. Think about that. You have so much self-doubt, so much fear. You have to feed off the opinions of other people and what they're saying, and you start believing what they're saying, whether it's good or bad. I want to read the next part of this story. We pick it up in John 5, 8 through 15. Jesus told him, "Stand up." These are in red letters in my Bible, and I could hear Jesus saying this right now. Jesus told him, "Brad, stand up. Pick up your mat and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man, "Who was this? You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry your sleeping mat. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up my mat and walk. You said such a thing as this, they demanded. The man didn't know Jesus had disappeared into the crowd, but afterwards Jesus found him in the temple, told him, now you are well, so stop sinning, or something else worse may happen to you. Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who healed him. I want to read the next part of the quote by Dale Carnegie. It says, the first part, it says, inactivity breeds doubt and fear. Action, pick up your mat. Action breeds confidence, courage. If you want to conquer fear, don't sit home and think about it. Get out there, get busy. There's a man that's sitting right over there. I remember, this isn't my notes, but this is just real stuff. I remember getting saved. I remember being lost. You guys know all my story about debt. I was buried in debt. I was living on my brother's couch. I was trying to love this woman that loved this broken man. I started working out back. And I said, how am I going to pay all this money back? How am I going to do this? And I volunteered my time because I knew this was the right place to be. I knew I had to be here. So humbly, I came to the pastor and I said, can I work for you? Can I get paid? And he said, yes. So I started working for him. And then the one day I asked him for money. I had a small bill, $250 I had to pay off. It was a credit card. And he said, Brad, get to work. Get going. There was days I threw my work clothes down and after work and I would sleep in. I would blame it on somebody else. I didn't want to answer the phone. I wanted to isolate myself. And that was my perception. That was what I perceived. And then Marty would ask me, he would say, Brad, what happened? And I said, well, you know, no one called me. No one wanted to pick me up. You know, I mean, I was living right on Ellicott Street. I was within 10 minutes walking distance. So that was my eyes. That's what I see. I could have got here. I could have walked here. I could have. And he would have found work for me. If you know this man, get to work. Get up. Pick up your mat. Get to work. Do you want to know why? This story, I mean, he could use this story. If you want to conquer fear, don't sit home, lay under the covers, and think about it. Get busy. Get to work. And that's what this man does. And he's taught a lot of this to all of us. My second point is there's power, or powering through the pain of change. If you turn to Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Paul tells us, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brother or sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling. That's power. That's a man that plowed through a lot of things. I don't have time to get through it, but he went through hell. He went through everything. How do we power through the pain? How do we get through the pain of change? Because change is not easy. Changing something in your life is not the easiest thing. First thing you have to do is put God first in everything that you do. Surround yourself with the right people. Step out. Say yes. Read the Word and books that will help you grow. Fight through any negativity or negative self-talk. I need an amen. Am I talking through all the amens? Am I talking through all the amens? Can you fax me an amen, Ryan? That's from Henning, isn't it? I won't wait for it. And folks, if you have anything chasing you tonight, if you have anything chasing you tonight, I have stuff chasing me. I have stuff chasing me. I'm not proclaiming it over my life, but I have stuff chasing me. Turn around, face it, and continue moving forward. Don't listen to the haters, the liars, the dream stealers, people that want to hold you back. You don't have to turn there. But listen, the Pharisees said to him, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began to walk. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. The haters rejected. They said to the man, who was cured? You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. I got saved on Sunday. I sat right over there. I could see it. I can see it. I took two hits of marijuana that morning. I was hiding up in a bathroom. I can see it. I was looking down. I was waiting for my cousin Isaiah. You want to know why I had to do it? Because I did it because I didn't know any better. It made me feel like I was normal. I had to come in this atmosphere. So that's not in my notes. That's free of charge. That's free of charge. That's free of charge. And, you know, just getting back to school or back to church Sunday, Isaiah, all he did is said, Brad, do you want to go to church? And something inside me said, it's time, it's time, it's time. And I came to church. The first day I didn't get saved. The second day I got saved because I knew it was right. I knew it was the right thing. So don't listen to the haters. There's going to be haters, a lot of haters. If you're doing something good for God and the kingdom, there's going to be haters. They're coming after you every day. I'm going to read this quote. It's by Steve Maraboli. How'd I do? Did I do all right? This may be people in your life. I got them. I got them. This may be people in your life. So I'm talking to myself now. Most haters are stuck in a poisonous mental prison of jealousy, self-doubt that blinds them to their own potentials. That's all it is. They're just hating because you're moving forward. And like Marty says, you're moving forward. They're moving backwards. So love the haters. Love them. Love the haters. Point three I wanted to make is Jesus endured the greatest pain for all of us. 1 Peter 3 through 18. Christ suffered for our sins once and for all. He never sinned, but he died for sins to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in spirit. He knew it was coming. He knew he had to carry the sins of the world. He knew he had to die on the cross. And at one point, he actually asked if he had to go through it. He didn't want it. But you want to know what, folks? He knew he had to endure the pain to change the world. He knew he had to do it to change the world. We need to change the world, to change our surroundings, to change our atmosphere, to have different influences on different people. What is it that you have to endure today? What is it that you have to change in your life today? I know pain. I know pain. This message is maybe for somebody, but this message is for me. This is me being real with you. My brain tells me I'm a machine. My brain tells me, you don't feel. You don't feel. Keep plowing forward. You don't feel. You don't have time for people. You don't have time for conversations. You can't be sensitive with your wife. You don't know how to love your daughter. You don't know how to be a husband. I know pain. I know it. I fight it every day. Daily, I break the mold of the first 25 years without Christ. A mold that just was so strong. It was strong, and it's still strong to this day, but every day, I'm breaking the mold that the world wants to put on me. I can think of my daughter's toys. She has these toys that make Ninja Turtles that somebody gave her. You put clay in it and you smush it, and then there's a mold. There's a mold that the world wants to put us on. There's a mold from your childhood that molds you, the way you think, the way you act, the habits that you have. They've seen it. They've grown through it with me. She's grown through it with me. You've grown through it with me. You've grown through me. You've been through it with me. You've been through it with me. You don't know it. You see me every day sitting on the front row. You see me with my family. You see me with my daughter. You see me smiling. But you don't know what's chasing me from my past. You don't. So daily, I fight. Every day, I put these 2 feet on the ground, folks. I put these 2 feet on the ground. I get out of the bed, and I put these 2 feet on the ground, and I have to make choices to love God, love people, be a great husband, be a great father. Most days in my life are great. I'm not saying I'm not doom and gloom guy. I'm not like living for God is terrible. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the stuff I formed before I was saved, they come against you. The thoughts come against you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah that I got saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I got another baby coming along the way. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I moved back from Florida. Thank you, Lord, that I met my wife that could endure my pain because she's seen it all. She could tell you stories. That'll be another time. Most days are great. They really are. They really are. But others, I'm attacked. I'm attacked with doubt. I'm attacked with fear. I'm attacked with these stupid, negative thoughts that come against me. I'm attacked with retreat. Do you know what happens when you retreat? You turn around and you go backwards. And you lose sight. You lose it. You lose sight. I'm attacked with retreat. But every day I get up, I'm attacked with isolation. You know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then I remember who I am. Then I remember what God has done and what He's doing in my life. I stop listening to the noise. The noise is right here, folks. And I start thinking and I start talking to myself. Brad, you are not the head. I'm sorry. You are the head. You are not the tail. I do. I talk to myself. If anybody watched America's Got Talent last night, that was not in the message, but there was the football player that did all the tricks with the cards. And he said, give me a second, when my body starts talking to myself, I'm sorry, I screwed it all up, but what he was trying to say is he starts talking to himself. He starts telling himself the things that I'm doing. He says, move forward, get up, get going, knock it off, Brad. Help me, Jesus. I'm above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. And in closing, what do you got to face today? What is it that you've been putting off? What decision have you been putting off? What decision have you been putting off? Who are you connected to that you shouldn't be connected to? Who should you get connected to? Get around some people that are going to tell you, get going. Disconnect from the people that are holding you back. Change your habits, change your thoughts, make small steps in the right decision. That's what I'm doing. I'm not perfect. I'm not. Machines are supposed to be perfect. Machines are supposed to be. That's what's inbred in me. Brad, be a machine. But I can honestly stand here and say, I'm humbled to be standing here. I'm humbled to be honest with my friends and my family. I'm humbled to be speaking to somebody that needs to hear this message. I need this message. I need it for me. I need it. I'm just making small decisions. I'm plowing away. I'm getting through some things. I'm trying to stay connected to the right people. I'm trying to just keep on doing. I keep saying, Jesus, help me today. Help me today, Lord. Stop that thought. Stop that habit in the name of Jesus. Change me in the name of Jesus. Help me be a great father today in the name of Jesus. Let me love somebody in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, I'm in the pool, baby. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This sanctuary is not a sanctuary of anybody it's not judgment. It's not condemnation. I'm the first one in the sanctuary. I'm the first one down here that says, I need to change something today. No one's here to condemn you. No one's here to look at you and say, why are they getting prayer? Nobody's saying, why are they lifting your hands? I've been there. I don't want anybody looking at me. Don't look at me. I ain't going through stuff today. I don't have pain today. I'm a Christian today. But you want to know it. The only one that could say that was Jesus. So I want to pray for somebody. I need help to pray for somebody. Maybe it's just something simple. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's a thought that you have. Maybe it's something that's haunting you. Maybe it's 25 years of that's been chasing you. Come down before the Father in heaven, before Jesus Christ that was perfect. Let us pray for you. And maybe you just need strength today to get through what you're already fighting against today. So I just want to pray. And if you need prayer, we're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. And my man is going to say something.
I'm going to help my brother just for a second, because some things are easier said by a third party than by themselves. And I felt the Holy Spirit actually answer your tapping your clock.
No,
here.
No, I'm just having fun.
I felt the Holy Spirit answer a question for some in the room as Brad was sharing, and the names actually started to come to me. And Brad, your first point was there's power in the pain, but there was two points. What are the two points?
Power in the pain and power of staying the same.
Power of staying the same. And there was a subtitle to how do we change? How do we move forward? And Brad made a couple points, but let me make this point, and this is specifically for some men in the room. And I spent the whole day with my dad. That great? I spent the whole day with him. I haven't taken that time in some time. And I have to say this, Brad, a turn in your life was a father. A turn in your life, a pricking to your heart, a decision to stay. You didn't have to stay, but a father came to you and said, Brad, get to work. Bradley, you can be more than you are. Bradley, I can see you with a wife. I can see you with a daughter. I can see you with another baby. I can see you successful. I can see you loving. I can see you passionate. I can see you as flesh, as love. There's men all over this room. Tony, I felt your name. Chris Busniak, I felt your name. Jeremy, I felt your name. Timmy, I felt your name. Dustin, I saw your name. Philip, I saw your name. Kieran, I saw your name. The love of a father. Now I'm going to challenge all the men He can't father everyone. I've been blessed with a father. Yeah. Earthly father.
Yeah.
We fight. We argue. We fought today. We argued today. But not everybody in the room has that opportunity. Not everybody has that. They don't know how to be dads. They don't know how to be husbands. You don't know. I want to bless you. And I want to bless some of the other men. And Bradley, I just want to say, as a brother, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
This is for you tonight. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having, listen to this, predestined us into the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to him himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's his will. If you don't have a father, even if you do have a father, but if in particular, if you don't have a father, it's his will. You're predestined. It's his plan. You got to make the choice. Here's a choice. You got to make the choice to say, yes, Lord. To your will and to your way. Yes, Lord. It's his will for you to walk in his love. I want to ask tonight. You got a brother. I'm going to ask. Dad, I'd like you to come. Pastor Pat, I'd like to ask you to come. Lenny, I'd like to ask you to come. Chuck Wood, I'd like to ask you to come. And once again, the Lord, Chuck Vendetti, and I'd like to ask you to come. Once again, I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me. You need the love of a father. Get up now. Don't wait. Get up. Get up now. Be blessed by a father. Young man, what's your name? Young man, what's your name? I can't remember your name. Jeremiah, come be blessed by the love of a father. Philip, Kieran, come be blessed. Father, we just bless your people tonight. We thank you for your hand. I thank you for Bradley. I thank you that you brought him here. I thank you that you predestined him. Before the foundations of the earth, you planned for him to be here tonight. He said yes. Thank God he said yes. Lord, we just say yes tonight. We just say yes to your will. We just say yes to your way. Whatever you have for us, Lord, we want them.
God, we just thank you tonight. Just let these be prayed over down here and we'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you tonight for your love, the love of a father tonight, God. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray favor on their lives, God, and the ability to make the right decisions at this moment, Lord, now tonight. God, thank you for Brad. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the spirit that is in this house tonight. Spirit of healing and restoration, help and wholeness, God. May you be honored and glorified in our lives, I pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. God bless you. If any of you need prayer for anything else, you come on down here. I'm going to stay here for a few minutes. Don't leave tonight unless you say hi to somebody, unless you hug somebody, shake their hand, something, okay? I love you so much.